Well, I want to talk to you today about the, my sermon title is, just ignore this. My sermon title is The Best Sermon Ever. Bobby, that's pretty cocky title, huh? I'm going to talk about the most important thing ever in the world. And that's why you can actually, title it The Power of Love, the power that love has to change things. There's nothing more powerful than the power of love. It is what motivated the Father to send Jesus Christ. And so I've got two options for you. How many of you would like your life to be better? Full of more joy, more peace, more comfort, more confidence, less anger, less bitterness, less unforgiveness. How many would like your life to get better, like in that way? Okay, so I have two choices. I have two options. I have this little pill. You see this little pill? Okay. I have this little pill, and you can buy it from me. It's this pill, you take it once a month, and your life will be filled with more joy and more peace and more comfort. Okay. But this pill costs $1,000. Yeah, every month you can buy another pill from me, $1,000. Or you can just listen to what I'm going to preach today and apply that. Amen? For free. Okay. How many want the pill? Okay. How many want to listen to the word today? Okay. Amen. I thought I could help you out. Okay, so I want to talk to you about love and its power, but I specifically want to talk about how love works, how faith works by love. You know, the Bible says faith works by love. How many ever read something in the Bible and you read it and you just kind of went like, huh? And you just kept on reading. You know, I don't even understand it, but I'll just keep on reading because there's something else good that I can understand, right? Has that ever happened to you? My thought is, and I'm not trying to be negative towards you, but my thought is most people have no idea what the Bible means when it says that faith works by love. You know what? They just don't understand. And I want to teach that to you today. Because when you understand that, your life is going to get better. I believe that after this sermon, after this preaching today, you're going to understand some things that you've never understood before. And it's going to bring just an incredible freedom to you, an incredible peace, incredible joy. That there's going to be, you ever had a lock one time? I don't even know where this lock came from, but we were all talking as a family, and I had this lock in my hand, and it was locked, and we didn't know the combination, and I just was kind of, you know, I was just twisting it and pulling it and twisting it and pulling it, and all of a sudden, I twisted it and pulled it, and boom, I unlocked it. I'm like, oh, unbelievable. Can I tell you today? I have the combination that's going to unlock some freedom in your life. Through the Word of God and through this revelation of understanding how faith works by love. See, love is the most important thing. The Bible says, you know what? Now abideth faith, hope, and love. But the greatest is what? Is love. So we really need to get an understanding of how we can walk in love, how that functions. And I want to teach that to you today. Let's turn to John chapter 1. To our 1 John chapter 4, 1 John chapter 4, and we'll start with verse 7. Of course, I have it up here on the screens, and I'm reading on the New King James Version, so you can follow me word for word. Look what it says. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God. Really important theological point. Everyone who loves is born of God. Say, everyone who loves is born of God. And knows God. Next verse, look what it says. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God has been manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sin. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. The first point I want to make is this, and if you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. The reason why you are so sweet is because God has put his Spirit in you. Amen. How many can say amen to that? Amen. The reason why you're so sweet is because God has put his Spirit inside of you. Now, let me say what I'm saying. I'm not saying that you weren't sweet before you knew God. How many know people who don't know God can do nice things? Amen. And how many know people who don't know, or new people who know God can do rotten things? Come on. How many ever done something wrong after you got saved? Okay, that's what I thought. But what I am saying is that you have changed drastically since you got born again. That the Bible says, behold, that means check it out. It means observe that old things have passed away. Behold, look, all things have become new. You're not like you used to be. I mean, you still got stuff you're working through, but you're not like you used to be. Amen. Amen. You're not like you used to be. My second point is this. The Spirit that God puts in you when you were born again was his Spirit. And his Spirit is kind. His Spirit is sweet. His Spirit is forgiving. His Spirit is a Spirit that believes the best in people. His Spirit is a Spirit of love. Now, I'm going to tell you a story. You know what? That some of you have heard, and some of you haven't. And Tamara and I were here at the church. We had the church van. We were hungry. And I forget if it was me or Tamara suggested, but let's get something to eat. And we went over to that high-class, fancy establishment, Taco Bell, for lunch. And when we went over to Taco Bell, Tamara said, I want one of those tacos and make sure it has tomatoes and sour cream. Supreme. How many like it with tomatoes and sour cream? And then she said, and oh, make sure, I don't want just a regular taco. I want it with, what's that nacho? Dorito Loco. Amen. She said, I want the Dorito Loco, and I want it supreme. I want the sour cream and tomatoes. So we were at the drive-thru, and I ordered, you know what, a taco, Dorito Loco, supreme, you know what. And we get it, and we're hungry, and guess what? There's no sour cream, and there's no tomatoes. So I take her order. And I take it back, and I say to the lady, hey, this isn't what I ordered. Well, she doesn't say this. She doesn't say what I believe she should have said, which is, oh, I'm sorry. You know what? We messed up. Let me take care of you right away. She don't apologize. Here's what she says to me. She says, well, you know what? It's because that's not what you ordered. I'm like, That is what I ordered. She says, no, you didn't. I said, okay, well, can you just take care of it? Sure, it'll be $1.39 more, or whatever it was. And, man, you know when the Bible says, be slow to speak? Okay, I didn't do that part right there. Let me Pastor George, you know what really irritates me is bad service. I just don't think, you know what, I worked at the grocery store for 25 years. They paid me a decent salary. I always thought, you know what, I'm there, they're paying me. I ought to take care of this customer. That's just my mentality. You know what, when I worked in the grocery store, these rude cashiers, I would hear them, and they, you know the little baskets that you get, you know what, and some people, they don't take the stuff out and put it on the conveyor belt, they just put the basket on there, and these snotty, well-paid checkers would, with an attitude, say, you know what, can you take it out of the basket? You know, I'm serious. I felt like going over sometimes and just saying, hey, can you be nice to that customer who's paying your salary? Can you take that out? I'm telling you what, I just. So I tell her, you know what, and I wasn't slow to speak, Pastor George. I was like, hey, lady, can I tell you something? I don't know who's giving you customer service, who taught you, but obviously they taught you wrong. You know what? Listen, I'm just the customer. You got the order wrong. I came in here nicely, and now you're going to charge me $1. You have the audacity, the admitted gall. I was so mad. You know what? And I'm just like, well, how many know at this point in time, it's not like you can go to the, it's not like you can, you know what, go to the car, you know what I mean, and let's enjoy our soda and our tacos now. You know what I mean? I mean, I was just ticked. I was just so mad. So I thought, well, I'm not going to stay in this parking lot. I'm going to get out of here because, you know what, I was so frustrated, so upset. And I go to start the car, and guess what? Well, so what? The car didn't start. No. The church van didn't start. Well, reaching our world with the explosive power of God's word and his love, one at a time. That van. And I have just got done telling this lady, you know what, she had, I told her she should not be part of management. You know what, they ought to fire you. I was so mad. I told her, if I was in charge, I would fire you like that. I was so mad. Pastor, are you teaching on love today? Is that because I don't remember. Are you teaching on love? Because this is not a good example. Okay, well, that's true. But here's what I'm saying. Later on, it bugged me that I told her all that. And listen, to some degree, I had every right to tell her that. She should have been told that. So why later on is it bugging me that I told her she should have been fired like that? Why would that bother me? She should have been. It's the truth. She was so rude, so condescending, so self-righteous. Well, why would that bug me? Here's why. Because the love of God is being poured out in my heart. See, let me tell you about God's love. God's love is different. God's ways are higher than our ways. And because I got born again, that stuff bothers me. We might not get it perfectly. We might mess up like I messed up. But let me tell you what, I don't mess up and go, who cares? It was her fault. No. Later on, I'm like, man, why did I act like that? Why? Because his spirit, when I got born again, when you got born again, how many born again? When we got born again, we received his spirit. Now, let's talk a little about his spirit. What is his spirit? Guys, yeah, we fix it. Okay, good. His spirit is the spirit of love. Somebody say the spirit of love. Okay, what is love? Love suffers long. Love suffers long and is kind. It's not, what is suffered short? Suffered short is people irritate you quickly. You know what? You know what I mean? Man, you're in my way. Hello? You ever know somebody who drives and it's like, you know what? They think the whole road is theirs. Right? And what do you do? And they're like, hey, you slow down, faster. What are you? You're all this stuff. Well, let me tell you what. Let me tell you what's going on right now. Let me tell you what that is. That ain't the spirit of love. No. The spirit of love says to you, oh, you know what? That's okay. You know what? Maybe they're focused on something else right now. See, the spirit of love says that. Why? Because the spirit of love, it suffers long. It's kind. How many know the spirit of love is just kind? Look at your neighbor and just smile like you're kind right now, okay? Yeah, just kind. That's the spirit of love. It does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. Amen. Are you learning something? Watch this. It does not behave. Oh, this is good. It does not behave what? Rudely. It does not seek its own. You don't always have to position yourself for the best for you. That's not the spirit of God. Amen. It is not, watch this, it's not provoked. Listen, what does that mean? The spirit of God that God has placed in you is a spirit that you don't make me mad. You makes me so mad. You make me mad. Listen, I'm not mad because I'm out of control. I'm mad because of you. It's because what you did that made me. Can I tell you what spirit that is? That's a spirit. That's a provoked spirit. Amen. See, that's a provoked spirit. Somebody can provoke you. Amen. But the spirit of God, it is not a provoked spirit. It doesn't get provoked. It thinks no evil. Amen. How many ever had a boyfriend or a girlfriend who did you wrong? Amen. How many ever had three boyfriends or girlfriends that did you wrong? Amen. See, listen. You know, we can develop through people's doing us wrong. We can start to think evil of people. Amen. You ever talk to ladies, and this lady thinks all men, there's no good men. There is no good men. Why do they think that? Here's why they think that. Because this guy was a ding dong. This guy was an idiot. This guy was a joker. And that next thing you know, no. Can I tell you what? Can I be honest with somebody? That's not the Spirit of God. Because the Spirit of God doesn't think, it thinks no evil. Watch, I'll show it to you again. I'll show it to you more. Watch this. It just becomes clear. It does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things. It bears all things. It bears all things. It is not... It is not a victim spirit. It's not a victim spirit. You know, because I'm like this and you did this to me. Listen, all of us have been dumped on. All of us. Now, I don't care where, I don't care what your background is. I don't care what your nationality is. I don't care what your ethnicity is. I don't care what your economic situation is. It doesn't make any difference. And everyone wants to say, no, let me tell you what, not everyone, but today, many people, there never can be a victor because they're too busy being the victim. I'm not saying that these things aren't real. I'm saying, all I'm doing is qualifying what spirit that is. See, the Spirit of God that He put in you says this: if God is for me, who can be against me? That God will always cause me to triumph. That's what the Spirit of God says. It's not a victim spirit. Watch this. Watch what the Spirit of love. Love, what does it do? It bears all things. It believes all things. You know what it does? It hopes all things. So maybe you've been victimized here and here and here at this job. How many ever had jobs that just were like, ah? And you've been victimized here and here and here. You've had bosses that have been not fair over and over. But you believe all things. You believe in this next job. Hey, I'm going to have a good boss. I'm going to have a nice boss. I'm going to have, you know, things, my best days are in front of me. It believes all things. That, listen, that is the spirit of love of Christ that is being poured out into your heart, Romans 5:5 says. Are you learning something? It endures all things. And not like, not like, you know, in the Bible talks about when these people are fasting, you know what they, you know what they, it's like the lady who buys the pie from Holly's Pies and then comes home and puts the apron on and throws a bunch of flour in her, you know, and walks out, oh, you know, look at the pie, you know, no. That's what the Bible says, that when you're fasting, you shouldn't put a bunch of dirt on your face and like come out like, what are you doing? I'm fasting. You know, no, don't do that. Go in the bathroom, brush your teeth, clean your face, and come out here like you've had a full meal this morning, even though maybe you fasted for 4 days. Amen? See, that the spirit that bears all things isn't, listen, it's not a spirit like, oh man, I'm sucking it up for Jesus. So, what is that? That's not what the Spirit of God is. Amen. All right, are you learning something? Galatians. The fruit of the Spirit, same, the fruit of the Spirit is love. Joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. Everybody say gentleness. Oh, here's a good one. Self-control. See, the fruit, if you look at the Spirit that God has put inside you, there's fruit on that tree, and that fruit is fruit of self-control. You're gentle. You're not hostile. You're not easily angered. You, everybody doesn't tick you off. Are you learning something? See, just see the opposite. Now watch this. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Say, when you walk in the flesh. Say this: when I walk in the flesh, it's obvious. Do this one. Say, it's obvious. It's evident. It's obvious. Adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness. You know, I heard this guy I was listening to, and he tries to act like a theologian, but he's trying to say there's a certain kind of sex that is completely against the Word of God. And he's trying to twist the Word of God to act like it's okay. And I'm listening to this whole thing, Pastor George, and after he gets done, I told my wife, I was like, this is so obvious. that this is wrong. That he has to twist it and talk. I mean, it's just such a twisting of what the word in the Old Testament and the New Testament is so clear that it's wrong. The works of the flesh are obvious. Uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred. Ugh. Contentions. What's contentions? You know what? Contentions is I'm gonna rip on my Dodger friends. You know what I mean? Contentions is when I talk about how the Angels are gonna make the playoffs next year. No, they're not. No, they're not. Whoa. Love believes all things, right? Right? Come on, don't be haters. Amen. I'm just saying that's not the spirit of God. Yeah, you're of the wrong spirit, my brother. Watch this. What this? Outbursts of wrath. You know, you don't even have to say anything. It's like, you know, it's like, egads. What is that? I tell you what, it's coming, and what's going on? It's not, you've been given a spirit, but you're not exercising the spirit of God that God's put inside you. Amen? These are obvious. How many know what I'm talking about? Amen. Now, here's what I want to ask. Here's a million-dollar question. And I'm going to tell you the answer, but I want to ask you first. If the spirit of love, if the spirit of Christ is the spirit of all that we talked about, joy, peace, love, long-suffering, all these things, gentleness, kindness, all this stuff, and the spirit of God is being poured out in our hearts, Romans chapter 5, verse 5, how come, I'm just asking, how come we don't act that way? I'm not saying we act that way all the time. I'm saying predominantly in our lives, how come that's not what is coming out of our lives? How come there's so much anger in the body of Christ? How come there's so much frustration? How come there's so much just junk in the body of Christ, amongst believers? I want to show you how come. I'm smiling, right? I want to show you what your problem is. Because there is a problem. How many know we need to recognize the problem? How many know the problems don't get fixed until we recognize there's a problem? How many would raise their hands and say, Pastor, I think you're on track somewhere. Okay, so let's talk about what the problem is. Because the answer to the problem is this, that faith works by love. That's the answer. You know, the truth is, I've studied faith for a long time. I've known that scripture for a long time, faith works by love. But I never really understood it till recently. And I saw this passage of scripture, and how many have ever heard the Holy Spirit just take something over here and take something over here and tie it together and go, that's the answer right there. Okay, you ready for this? I said, you ready for this? Okay, I still got that pill in my pocket for $1,000. Okay, are we together? Watch what, let's see if I can find it. Oh, 1 John, thank you. First John chapter 4, oh, thank you, verse 18. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. This is in the same chapter that we read in the beginning. But here's what it says. There is no fear in love. Say, no fear in love.
No fear in love.
But perfect love casts out fear. Here's why. Because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Somebody say, fear involves torment.
Fear involves torment.
Because we don't understand how much God loves us, we get frustrated, we get emotional, and we get tormented. Why is somebody, why is that stuff going on? Here's why. They're tormented. Why are they tormented? Because they don't understand the love of God. They don't understand how much God loves them. Remember what Paul writes this? He says, I want you to catch, get a revelation of God's love. He says it very poetically. He says, I pray that you would understand the breadth and height and depth and length, that you would understand completely how much God loves you. That's what I would pray. Because as soon as we understand that, we just chill out and our life gets better. Remember, Jesus says this. Let me tie it together even better. Remember, Jesus says this. He says, he's teaching on faith, and he's teaching on love, but he's teaching on faith in Matthew, and he says, you know what, guys, because he recognizes these people, they don't trust me. They don't trust me. You know why we don't trust God? Because we have no understanding how much he loves us. Let's connect the dots. You know why we are frustrated? Because we don't understand how much God loves us. I told this story in prayer, but I'll tell it to you, everyone. So there was this pastor. This pastor was a complete, total Cowboys fan. You ever know Cowboys? Some Cowboys fans are like adamant, okay? This guy was Cowboys fan to the max. And it was Sunday. He invited all the church staff over, and they were watching the Cowboy game. In the Cowboy game, it was one of those games, it was a playoff game, and it was one of those games that it was back and forth. They're up, we're up, they're up, we're up, they're up, back and forth, touchdown after touchdown, just really, really excited game. It comes to the last 30 seconds, and the Cowboys have the ball, and they're marching down the field. If they score, they're going to win the game. Sure enough, 30 seconds, 20 seconds, 15 seconds, the last 3 seconds, the guy throws a touchdown, they score, they win. Everybody in the pastor's house is jumping up and down because they're all Cowboys fans. They're jumping up and down. And then one of the staff members noticed that the whole game, the pastor was just chilling out on the couch, relaxing. Now he knows if anyone is crazy over the Cowboys, it's pastor. And he recognizes, hey, pastor, How come you weren't on the edge of your seat? How come you weren't screaming? How come you weren't biting your nails? How come you weren't into it? He says, oh, that's easy. When I got home, my wife had recorded the game. And when I got home, she whispered in my ear, the Cowboys are going to win in the last 3 seconds. See, what's my point? My point is, if you really understand how much God loves you, then you're chilled and relaxed about situations in your life. See, the reason why you're so frustrated, and listen, and that frustration comes out in all kinds of areas in your life. But what it has to do with is you just don't understand how much God loves you. Because if you understood how much God loved you, you would just go, whoa, what am I worried about? Why am I, let's get practical application. So, you know what, whatever you are, you're 20-something, you're 30-something, you're single, you're like, oh, man, I just want to get married, I just want to start a family, And listen, and what you're about to do is, Gomer is about to ask you out. And Gomer is not somebody you ought to be going out with. Amen. Gomer is a goofball. Amen. And it's clear. And you should be so quick to say, you know what? I'm sorry. No, thank you. I know what you're about. I know what's going on. And no, thank you. Okay, wait. Can I take a side note here? I did this in the first service. I believe I need to do it in the second service. Can I take a side note here? ladies and gentlemen, for that matter. Talk to the men too. Don't sleep with anybody until you're married. And here's why. Because you know what? You're going out with someone you shouldn't go out with, and you sleep with them, and you cross this line, and the world just says, it ain't no big deal. It's just sex. Everybody's doing it. It don't make any difference. But what happens is in the spiritual realm, it's not just sex. It's connecting with someone. And once you connect with them, it's a lot harder in the spiritual realm, in a practical realm, to disconnect. If you hadn't slept with them, you would have recognized what a goofball you've been dating, and it would have been easier for you to break up with them. Men, same way. Yeah, but she wanted to sleep with me. Oh, okay, then that makes it okay. Jesus. No, listen, that same connection happens with you too. You know what? You're going out with Sally Goofball, and you should not go out with her. Amen? But you can't recognize it because you've slept with them. I'm just saying. I'm just trying to give people, young people, practical applications on how to live their life. Amen? I'm just saying. So, but here's what happens. Because you don't understand. Listen, when you understand that God has a great plan for you, because he absolutely is crazy about you, you just say, God, thank you that you're bringing the right one into my life. And I will be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, with what? With what? What's that with Thanksgiving? That this Thanksgiving is, I don't care that I'm 30-some. Thank God that I'm 32 years old and I didn't marry the frog when I was 23. Amen. Amen. See, you're thankful. You're grateful. You're thankful. No. Listen. God has his plan. His way is higher than my way. But if you listen, if you don't understand how crazy God is for you, then you get anxious. You start making all kinds of wrong decisions in your life. See. If you are the only one who has to fight for you, if you don't understand, God goes before you and makes a crooked path straight. You're out there with your you're fighting and you're struggling and you're upset and you're ticked and you're all this stuff. And you know what? And God says, okay, whoa, Jackson, you want to be in charge? Then you be in charge. But what I'm looking for is I'm looking for people who, watch this, who walk in love by faith. See, their trust in God causes them to be a whole different person. Yeah. You know, how is it, I'm just saying, how is it that I work in the same grocery store that all these other people work at? And Tamara witnessed it. You know what? They're all, everything's wrong. And I come in like, you know. You know what? What are you doing? Why are you smiling? Why shouldn't I be smiling? You know what? We work for the big A. Are you kidding me? Look at that. And I would point to the big Albert's. We work for the big A. We are providing food. There's people. I mean, no, I'm kind of being silly, sarcastic. We are providing food for people. People are going to eat dinner because of what we do. And then, like, the people are like, oh my goodness, he's flipped. But you know what? The joy of the Lord was my strength. You know what? When I would tell the person coming in the line, you know, how was your day today? Oh, it was okay. I'd say, hey, you know what my mama used to say? And how many know that person didn't know what I was gonna say? But all the checkers, all the box boys knew what I was gonna say. And you know what? And what would the person ask? They'd go, no, what did she say? And then I'd say, She used to say this, "You can't hurry love. No, you just have to wait." She said, "Love don't come easy." Now, what is going on here? What is going on? Why are you acting like that? Because, you know what? Because I have faith. Listen, I'm not saying if you work in the grocery store, I'm not saying that's not a wonderful profession. But here's what I'm saying. But I knew the calling on my life. And I knew that this was an opportunity that I had to provide for me and my household. And I saw it that way. But I knew God was going to bless me to eventually be a pastor of the most wonderful church, I fully believe this, in California. Amen. 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 And so there was this anxiety. See, faith works by my understanding how much God loves me. If you're anxious for something, you know what? Is it the crux of the problem? You don't trust God. You don't understand how much God loves you. Because if you did, you'd be like, 32? That ain't nothing, man. Wait till you see how fine my man's going to be that God's going to bring me. Wait till you see how fine the woman's going to come that God's going to put in my life. Wait till you see what God's going to do. You know what the Bible says? Don't be critical of small beginnings. Amen. And so why have I this confidence? Why am I acting like, you know what? I never forget this. Bobby comes in my office nearly 20 years ago, comes in my office, and in my office, praise the Lord, the people that were here before Tamara and I got here, because they were lovely, awesome men and women of God that loved Jesus. But the church had declined, and wasn't able to financially do any remodels. And my office, this is the truth, I had a macrame, you remember this? Some of you too young to remember this. I had a macrame hanging flower pot planter. I mean, right out of 1972, And so Bobby's in my office, and I'm like all excited. I'm like, man, he's going to be awesome. Hey, Bobby, was praise and worship awesome today? I'll get back to the macrame story. Help me out in this. But I remember, Pastor George, I remember in that church, and there was such a stronghold of, we sing these songs, but we don't worship. And I in my spirit, you know what? And these two, I'll rip on these two for a minute, because these two sat in our dining room, and they started telling me that the reason why what we needed is we needed to change the songs, that there were too many, we were singing too many hymns, and those hymns were boring, and as God is my witness, Pastor George, I slapped them in the spirit. I said, listen. I said, you start reading these songs, because these songs are anointed, or they're dripping with anointing. I don't care what we're singing. If they're talking about Jesus, you change your attitude and you start bringing your praise and worship instead of your bad attitudes. Amen? Praise the Lord. And let me just say this. The only reason I could tell these two ladies here that kind of talk, you know, Pastor George, there's a lot of people you can't talk to and tell them the truth, because they're such babies. That they just whine you know what the Bible says? They take your pearls and they stomp on it. They don't value your wisdom, and then they come after you. These two valued my wisdom, and I knew they would. Amen. Amen. And I knew I was speaking to them truth. Was I talking about macrame? Okay, macrame. So I remember in that office and telling her, you know what, how awesome this church was going to be, what God was going to do, yada, 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 yada. And it wasn't until years later, she was just shut her mouth. But years later, I found out she was looking at me thinking, what in the world, Pastor, are you looking at? Because everything I see is nothing like you're talking about. Why did I have that confidence? Here's why. Because I knew how much God loved me. And I knew that God, I knew, and you know what too? This is going to sound cocky, but I knew how much God loved you guys. And I knew that God was going to bring us together to have a dynamic church that we would be. How many know there's a bunch of other people who haven't even come to this church yet, but they're coming from the north, from the south, from the east, from the west. Hundreds, listen to me. Hundreds and thousands.
Amen.
Why do I say that? Here's why. Because the love of God is being poured out in my heart. I could scratch my head too and say, I don't know. Why hasn't it happened yet? Who's got time for that? Amen? I don't got time for that. I need to continue to see. Let me tell you about vision. A visionary will not look at what is seen because he's too busy looking at what's unseen. Because what unseen is more real than what's seen. That's what Paul said. And so who cares? And am I going to cry in my Cheerios because the thousands aren't here yet? Are you kidding me? And Isabel sitting right in front of me? Are you kidding me? And you know what? And her dad sitting right next to her? Are you kidding me? Who's got time for that? I've got too busy thanking God for what he's doing now, today. Amen? But it's the love that causes me to say, no. God's going to provide all this. All this is going to happen. See, faith works by love.
Amen.
And if you don't understand that, you get anxious and you get upset and you get all this stuff, and none of it is coming from the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is anxious for nothing. The Spirit of God just loves people, cares about people, believes all things. Forgives, constantly forgives over and over again, and doesn't have an attitude to say, that's how you are, and it's never going to change. That's how that is, and that's never going to change. That's, I tell you what, that's a spirit, but that's not the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God believes in people, even in the midst. Look at Jesus. Jesus is a great example. Peter just keeps on doing crazy boneheaded things after boneheaded things after boneheaded things after boneheaded things. And Jesus says, hey, you know what you are? He is the epitome of inconsistent. Is he not? What does he call him? He calls him, you're the rock. What's the character of rock? Consistent, man. Yeah, solid as a... Some of you don't know how funny that is because you don't know that song, but the consistency of rock is solid. Every time he calls him, he's saying, let me tell you what, you're Mr. Solid. You're Mr. Solid. You're Mr. Solid. That's how Jesus did. What does he call Abraham? What does he call Abram? I ain't calling you Abram anymore. I'm going to call you what? I'm going to call you Abraham. I'm going to call you are the father of many nations. See, that's how God is. That's how we need to be. We need to put our trust in God. And listen, just a minute. When you put your trust in God, you're going to relax. And you're going to start to walk in the obedience of God. You're going to start things that God asks you to do. You're not going to argue with God anymore. You're going to say, that's why did I come from Newport Beach? Why? Half a block from the beach, half a block from my work. You know what I mean? Got a wonderful girlfriend. You know what I mean? You know, I'm leading praise and worship at Mesa Bible Chapel. I love my life. Why would I leave there? Why, when God tells me to move and move back in with my parents, I've got a bachelor place in Newport Beach, paying $200 a month. And I'm going to move back in with my parents, go from working from Newport Beach to working in Baldwin Park. You know what I mean? If you're from Baldwin Park, I'm just saying. Yeah. Why would you do that? Here's why. Because I understood how much God loved me. And that understanding of how much God loved me caused me to believe that whatever he was calling me to was going to... I had no idea how much I needed Pastor Bradford in my life. Listen, you want to pat Tamara and I on the back for excellence at this church? Don't pat too hard, because who you really need to be patting is Pastor Bradford. That's the truth. I'm a product of 6 years of being underneath. Pastor Bradford's wife said he is somewhere between Adolf Hitler and Winnie the Pooh. Bobby, is that not accurate? Let me tell you what. Pastor Bradford, I wish he was still alive. I would love for him to minister to you, because you would be delighted with who he was. Because he was as strong as you can get, but he was as Southern hospitality as you could get. He was an incredible man. And I got to sit underneath him. And I didn't see very much of the Southern hospitality. But how many know that's not what I needed to see? And years later, as I walk, you know what, the grounds here, and I see the excellence here in this room and in what we're going to do outside. Let me tell you what, if you get an opportunity, you know what, you be part of funding the outdoor project. Because the outdoor project is going to be something that you want to be, you want to get some skin in that game. It's going to be outstanding. It's going to be so, so incredible. Amen? Well, where did that come from? Why did I do that? Here's why I did that. Because I knew, you know what, that I could put my trust in God. When you start to understand the love of God, it's going to change. It's going to rock your world. Okay. And for anybody who don't want to be obedient, bring your $1,000. I got your pill for you. Okay. How many know God has a word for us today? And we need to just start to relax and start to recognize, no. Every hair on your head is numbered. Why? What does God try to communicate? That he's a good barber? No. That he absolutely cares about every little detail in your life. Amen. If you're in this room today, or maybe even watching us through the internet, and you haven't accepted Jesus in your heart, you don't know for sure if you're a Christian. How many know just coming to church doesn't mean you're in the family of God? You've got to invite Jesus in your heart. If you want to do that with every head bowed and every eyes closed, and if you're at home, you can do this right at home, right where you're at. Jesus knows why you're watching. It's not by accident that you're watching us today. But if you want to lift up your hand and say, Jesus, I want Jesus in my heart. I want you to pray with me, Pastor. I see that hand. Who else? I see that hand. Thank you. You can put those hands down. Anybody else? Anybody else? Just one more minute. Let's say this together. Let's ask Jesus in our heart. Say, Jesus, come into our heart. Change me from the inside out. I want to make you my Lord. I want to be a Christian. I want to follow you forever. Thank you for dying on the cross and taking away all my sin. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. And last but not least, if something that was said ministered to you, if you feel like, oh my goodness, Pastor, you were talking to me, the Holy Spirit was speaking to me, you know what? I want you to raise your hand. I want to pray with you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And we have just underestimated the love of God in our life. Who is that? Keep up your hands raised. Thank you. Thank you. Can I pray with you? Say this with me. Say, Father, I am sorry for underestimating your love. Help me this week to sense your love more than I've ever sensed it before. Thank you that I put my trust in you fully because you love me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay. All right. Praise the Lord. Did you learn something today? How many were encouraged today?
Amen. How many felt like the Holy Spirit slapped you around too a little bit? Come on. How many know that's a good thing sometimes? My mom used to say, before she would spank me, she'd say, "Drew, this hurts me more than it does you." I used to think, "Well, why don't you give me the belt and let me?" But I never said that to you. Hey, let me just pray a blessing over you. Father, I thank you that these people, in all the things that they could do this day, that they came here. Father, I thank you that for the revelation knowledge that you have revealed to us. Father, and we thank you that you'll help us all. I thank you for a great week. I thank you for a great month. I thank you for a great year. I thank you for marriages. I thank you for bodies that are going to be restored physically. I thank you for marriages that are going to be completely restored. Father, I thank you for children and grandchildren that are coming back to the ways of God. I just thank you for your blessings. I thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen.